now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. Most people would generally characterize the labor market as strong. According to the most recent data supplied by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, there are 7.3 million available unfilled jobs in America. The official rate of national unemployment stands at just 3.7%, and last month the nation added more than 200,000 jobs, putting to rest much of the pre-existing chatter regarding a rapidly softening U.S. economy. But as indicated by writer Neil Irwin, this does not signify that all is right in the job market. Average hourly earnings have risen 3.1% over the past year. While that's not terrible, the pace of wage growth has actually been decelerating recently. Moreover, there are many who remain outside the labor market. If one analyzes those in their so-called prime working years, meaning those between the ages of 25 and 54, 79.7% were employed in June. That's actually down slightly from February, when the corresponding proportion was closer to 80% and even further below the 81% record high achieved in April of 2000. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. Several months ago, Maryland's General Assembly passed legislation that will eventually raise the free state's minimum wage to $15 an hour, absent future intervention. At the federal level, there are a number of congressional Democrats pushing to raise the nation's minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2024. The question is, of course, how many people would benefit from such legislation and how many could be negatively impacted by job loss? The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office studied precisely that question recently. As summarized by writer Eric Morath, here is what they determined. The study concludes that in an average week, a year after the measure would take full effect, a $15 an hour minimum wage would bolster the pay of 17 million workers who would otherwise earn less than $15 per hour. It could also raise the pay of another 10 million workers who otherwise would earn only slightly more than $15 an hour. Perhaps most strikingly, it would lift 1.3 million Americans out of poverty. But it could also cost 1.3 million Americans their jobs. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. If you are having difficulty amassing savings, you can take heart in the fact that many other people are too. Indeed, many Americans enter retirement with no savings and no pension. While making more money might help, as would greater spending discipline, another factor is where one lives. Data from personal finance website Bankrate indicate that there are cities where you would be more likely to amass your own rainy day fund. As indicated by CNBC, many experts recommend that one have at least 6 months of cash on hand in case of job loss, medical, or other emergency. Bankrate ranks cities based on housing costs, groceries, healthcare, transportation, and utilities. At the top of the list, Memphis, Tennessee. Because of a low cost of living, residents there can quickly amass a six-month rainy day fund in less than a year. In other cities that round out the top five, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Detroit, it would require about 13 months to build that six-month fund. By contrast, in wildly expensive New York, it would take 521 months to achieve that savings objective. In cities like San Francisco and San Jose, it would take even longer. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. The U.S. economy is in decent shape today, but it may not be in a few months. A probability model used by the New York Federal Reserve to estimate the odds of a recession over the next 12 months just hit 32%, the highest level since 2009. As indicated by Markets Insider, a reading above 30% has preceded all recessions since 1960. To compute the probability of recession over the next year, the New York Federal Reserve's tracker uses Treasury spreads, specifically the difference between the 10-year and 3-month Treasury rates. When the interest rate on a 3-month Treasury rises above that of a 10-year Treasury, it can spell trouble. Low long-term interest rates are an indication that investors expect a weaker economy at some point in the future. The interest rate on a 3-month Treasury has risen above the corresponding rate on a 10-year Treasury prior to all post-war downturns, and this circumstance has been observable since May. The New York Federal Reserve's model has many skeptics, however, who view the model as too simplistic and one that fails to offer precise lead times. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. Perhaps you saw the movie Crazy Rich Asians. Recent data indicate that there may have recently been a decline in the number of crazy rich Asians, at least in China. According to Paris-based Capgemini SE, China's cooling economy shrank the ranks of that nation's millionaires last year. Specifically, the number of Chinese individuals with more than $1 million in financial assets declined 5% to 1.2 million during 2018. As indicated by the Wall Street Journal, a $500 billion drop in the value of assets that these millionaires held drove the decline. Indeed, the world's wealthy lost a lot last year. According to Capgemini's research, the richest people worldwide lost $2 trillion in wealth in 2018. According to Bain & Company, wealthy Chinese are especially important to purveyors of luxury automobiles, fashion and food brands, accounting for one-third of such spending worldwide. In North America, the value of assets held by high-net-worth individuals fell 1.1% last year, but the number of millionaires in America crept marginally higher. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.